Welcome to the Student of the Game Fire Podcast with your host, Danny B.
Today's guest is Kyle Piverell, 6 years of career experience, a backstep firefighter on Ladder 42 at a Central Florida department who has been through adversity within his life. But with a strong, loving support system and his faith, he was able to upright his ship into the right direction. This episode is slightly different from the others. Kyle comes on to talk shop about his fire service experience and about a decision he made in his life along with the aftermath. A decision that I believe a good number of firefighters can relate to. Actions have consequences and may have a lasting impact on the rest of your life. There is no reset, undo, or edit button. You are the only person responsible for your actions. You are free to choose whatever action you want to take, but are not free from the consequences. The best thing you can do is accept that a mistake was made and take full accountability and learn from it through growth and maturity. Hopefully others can see your sincerity and determination to correct it and offer you a second chance. If you do get one, take advantage of it because it's a gift and it may be something better than you had before. With that, I present Kyle Piverell.
So my name is Kyle Piverell. It's been about 6 years so far in the fire service. And I'm currently at a county department in Central Florida here on the East Coast. And I'm lucky enough to be on a ladder, on Ladder 42. So super excited to be here and talk a little bit of shop. So I was real sick as a kid. At 9 years old, I was diagnosed with ALL, acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And I always grew up wanting to ride motorcycles, ride a dirt bike. Finally got one the Christmas that I turned 9. And so that whole journey, the whole part of being sick was I was had to be healthy enough to get to go to the motocross track. And luckily that was not as rough as it could have been. There was a lot worse off people that I met throughout that 2.5 years of chemo. So motorcycles played a big role in that. And through riding motocross, it's not if or when, just or not how bad, you're going to get hurt. And I tend to do it quite a bit. So I spent lots of time in a cast or in a sling or on crutches or something. And most of the tracks have an ambulance or a med unit or a rescue from the local fire department kind of on site for when that happens. So I spent a couple rides to the hospital in the back. And so that was kind of the first time I saw like the EMS side of stuff, which I know is sometimes a funny word when we talk about fire department stuff. But, so I kind of got to see that side myself. And then growing up, I was kind of all right at school. I mean, I made a couple A's here and there, but school was never really my forte. It was not really something I always, loved. And after high school, kind of looking for what I was going to do and I the trades kind of always interest me, working with my hands or being outside or doing something physical was always something that I appreciated and enjoyed. I mean, I played a couple of sports here and there in high school, but nothing serious. Motocross was always the focus. So from the workout aspect of that, as I got a little bit older and, so I knew I wanted to do something physical. And long story short, a cousin of mine, I say air quotes, we're not related by blood, but family friends for decades. He was on the job up in Connecticut and come from a long line of law enforcement and fire and all that stuff. And was like, hey, you should just try EMT school. Like just, I kind of thought maybe I wanted to do something medically, and then I realized that's a whole lot of school, not exactly something. I was like, oh, that's, doctor level stuff. Like, that's a lot. And so the medical side was kind of interesting. And yeah, so I went to EMT school, and he's like, hey, well, you already went to EMT school, unless you only want to ride an ambulance, maybe you should try fire school. I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot. And in Florida, most places you have to go get certified before you can apply or even get a job. There's a couple places you can show up and they'll send you to school, but for the most part you got to go get certified on your own. So I went to sign up for the Fire Academy, and I was working as a lifeguard at one of the resorts in Orlando at the time. And it was probably, I don't 2, 3 weeks, maybe a month into school. And other than working out, which I enjoy, we got to do some fire skills, and the light bulb went off. I was like, holy, it's hard work. You get to work as a team. I was like, this is it. And that was in what, the springtime of 2016. And from that point forward, I was like, this is it. This is all I want to do. I mean, and so yeah, here we are. Fast forward to now. It's I kind of traded one obsession for the other, from racing motorcycles to, I stopped doing that because I was in school, and then when I originally got hired, I didn't, I was a new guy, I didn't have enough sick time. I was afraid of, getting hurt, and then, not being able to go to work and stuff like that. So it kind of was one obsession for the other. I mean, it's like the scene in Indiana Jones where he takes the thing off the rock and adds
Puts the
the.
sand, put the yeah, puts the bag of sand over it. Yeah.
Yep, it was just one for the other.
Okay.
And yeah, I mean, I'm super, super thankful for the time that I've spent, and I think a lot of the lessons from being sick as a kid to stuff racing, I think that's all tied into kind of my journey so far in the fire service. So it's been great. It's been some ups and downs, some highs and some lows, but just love going to work every day. So I couldn't be more happy to find the fire service.
Okay. All right. Before we continue on, your computer has an awesome mic. So I think you're rubbing your hand on the table, and
Yeah,
it's
probably.
definitely picking it up. So yeah, it just kind of sounds like I can hear you, but it just like you can hear like something rubbing. But whatever, your computer, the microphone's awesome. So
Sweet.
that's a plus. You mentioned earlier that you were sick as a kid, and fortunately, knock on wood, I've been blessed where I haven't had to go with what you've gone through. But I can tell you, my mom, she passed away from cancer, and I would take her to her chemo appointments. And it's like you look at life from a different perspective because, like, they sit my mom down on this like nice, comfy, lazy boy chair type thing. And then, she has like the PICC line in her arm, and they bring the bag of, you see the chemo, and she sits there, and I try to get her as comfortable as possible, magazines, put shows on her computer, whatever the case. But what's wild is I look across from her, and it's not just adults, like it's young kids and teenagers, and like I'm sitting there across from her, just hanging out while she's getting her treatment. And like, I don't know how to feel about that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm watching kids my age or younger getting chemotherapy, and it's just like, damn. Like, it sucks, but it's just the way life is. So I say all that to say, I appreciate that you have been able to hopefully beat that. You're in remission for all that good stuff, man. So I just want to I just had to say that, because even though it wasn't me getting the chemo, watching my mom get it and watching all the other people around her, man, like, you just got to count your blessings. So that's awesome that you're 100% good now.
No, and I think being so young, like My birthday is around Christmas time, so I had just turned 9, and oddly enough, it was Friday the 13th that I got told that news in 2004, and in August I was in the hospital when it happened. But Hurricane Charlie hit Orlando, and my dad traveled for work at the time, so it was like the perfect, no pun intended, perfect storm. You know, my younger brother went and stayed with the neighbors, and you know, my dad couldn't get a flight home because there's a hurricane, and it was this whole big thing. But other than, I think, growing up, kind of my faith played a part in it. Not so much when I was younger, because I hadn't kind of gotten there faith-wise at, you know, at 9 years old. But I really look back, and I think the kind of blessing in disguise, which, you know, there's a plan and I'm not always in charge of it, which is probably a good thing. But I think being so young was a blessing, because I was just old enough to know that, hey, this is not great, this is not awesome, I don't feel the best, but wasn't old enough to kind of know the scale of what could be. Now, granted, I kind of had the I actually, my mom got told that I had the good kind of cancer, and by the oncologist, and my mom said, you know, you can come out of the, you can go out of the room and come back in and try that again, because what do you mean the good kind? That doesn't make any sense. Just protocol wise and what they had going, and at that time, like, I was the right age, and yeah, I guess in that scenario, being male, all the right things kind of worked out. They caught it super early, so all those things were, you know, good on my end. And I mean, I had some friends that are no longer here in the hospital. I mean, I raced BMX bicycles before getting a dirt bike, and my friend that I ended up meeting through all that, and you know, he was always in the hospital room next to me. We found out we were at the now he was a year or 2 years younger than me, but we were at the same BMX race the year before. You know, we just didn't know each other, so that was super cool. But his was his you know, we had the same kind of cancer, but his was far more advanced. So I and unfortunately, you know, he passed away. But I think things like that, I mean, it is one of the things that for a long time I didn't want to talk about, because people are like, oh my gosh, that's, you know, I'm so sorry. And I, you know, it wasn't something like that, but I didn't want, you know, I say air quote, but I didn't want anyone's sympathy, right? Like, it was just something that happened, and luckily, you know, things worked out, and you know, I got through it, and it was all good. And you know, a lot to credit to my parents. I mean, and you know, the big man upstairs, like, I think there was a greater plan. But so it is rough. But I mean, a family member of mine, she's kind of on the tail end of hers, and we were talking about it, and she's like, I can't imagine, you know, being a kid and being so young. And I was like, you know what, I think that, you know, it really was a blessing, because you know, I didn't quite grasp it. So yeah, I mean, I think it was a, you know, like I said, kind of a blessing. So I can't imagine, you know, seeing, I think it almost would be more rough to be the person on the outside looking in, because you know, you, my dad said a million times, like, I don't, you know, I didn't know what to do. Like, I, you know, as long as I went to work and there was kind of, you know, on that aspect, like, things could get, keep getting paid for, and you know, my mom could be home with my brother and I, like, it's like, but I didn't, that was the worst feeling. So I can't imagine, you know, what it felt like to, you know, have it be your mom, and have to go and kind of be the, you know, the rock, so to speak, to do all that. So that's rough, man. So.
No, like I said, I count my blessings. Like you said, man, everything happens for a reason. You know, there's going to be things in life we're not going to understand, and some of us probably won't ever understand, but that's the thing. Like, we can only control certain things. You can control, you know, your decisions and things like that, but when it comes to how, like, if you want a promotion at work and you don't get it, all you can do is like learn from your mistakes, try to get better and move on. So I totally, like I said, I totally get you on that. But once you noticed, hey, like the fire service, this is what I want to do, what were your next actions to get there, to get that goal?
We didn't start with a ton of people in the fire academy. I think we started with 19 or 20 people. And a couple people kind of just realized halfway through this isn't for me. But we finished with 12. And after that, I took my National Registry EMT test and obviously passed the state fire test to be officially certified, and then it was off to the races. At that time, it wasn't, I'm not going to say like, oh, back in my day, it was certainly plenty easy to get a job, but you just had to wait for those, departments to be open. And not having a huge like family influence here in Florida, a great grandfather of mine was a fire chief in Iowa. I never met him, but that was kind of cool to find out later on. I didn't have a dream department. So I was just, if it was, they were hiring firefighter EMTs, I was applying. And probably, it is the largest department in Central Florida, but I guess the training officer or recruitment officer from Orange County Fire Rescue came and spoke to our fire standards class, and that was enough of a direction for me. So I applied there. It was about 10 or 11 months after I finished school that I officially got hired in the fall of 2017, and that was that. They had at that time, I'm probably going to misspeak, but a 10 or 12 week new hire orientation. And I mean, it was great. It was a couple of things were similar to fire school. That's how you pull this hose. And, but that's kind of, not kind of, it's definitely where like the 2-person 24-foot ladder carry, like that's gone. This is a 1-person job. And, one person forcible entry, like you, okay, you can do it, right? Here's how you set the tools, and here, and that's, I was super thankful. I was just excited to be there. Like I could have gone to any other place and been just as excited, but the size of that department and the people that were there at training, like, were there because they wanted to be there, not because they got told, hey, you're going to the training for X amount of time. No, they all were passionate. And I think, looking back, definitely loved the job and cared about what was coming out of orientation onto the, onto each truck and, into each firehouse. So it was great. And that was it. After orientation, I got assigned to a station on the northwest side of the county, and a little bit more rural, a little bit slower. And it was definitely not the call volume that I expected. I mean, and going back to racing and the motocross stuff, like part of my, I think, draw once I figured out the fire service was the adrenaline. And all this time later, I still haven't, gotten rid of that. I mean, the queue's going and the air horn's going and I'm ready to go. So it was a bit of a slower station, but the crew there, just tons of experience. I mean, I don't want to say it was a retirement house. Those guys were closer to the end of their career than the beginning, but had all come from kind of more interior stations and houses, and so a lot of I got to train a lot. I got, a lot of time uninterrupted to figure out how to get dressed in the back of the truck, as opposed to the academy way where everything is laid out perfectly on the bay floor or something. So, I mean, I'm still in contact with that first lieutenant, and he's since retired and is traveling the country in an RV with his wife. And but just great people. I mean, I learned to play spades. I didn't know how to do that after dinner, so it was a great time. And after you know a couple months, probably 2 or 3 months, I would ask the battalion chief, you know, with my lieutenant's permission to, I was like, hey, this is great. I love being here, but I do want to go somewhere busier. You know, we ran 2 or 3 calls, maybe 4 calls a shift. And being a new guy, I felt it was kind of my prerogative to ask. I think they wanted to see if I wanted to go somewhere busier. And getting out of the academy, they asked all of us, which I got hired with 40, almost 50 people. And it they asked us for, you know, a dream list, or, you know, pick your top three firehouses and, you know, where do you want to go? And I think it was kind of to figure out what everyone's mindset was. And so I picked the three busiest houses in that department that I could think of or that I knew. And, you know, I got assigned somewhere a little slower. And I think maybe other people, I kind of picked some middle of the road, you know, call volume houses, got sent somewhere a little busier just to see how it would even out. So I think it was about the 3rd month or maybe the 4th month I was there. They moved me to an interior station that at the time was pretty busy. It was in the top 10 busiest stations in the county, and had a great time. I mean, I kind of feel like I showed up to the A team. That crew had been working. The core group of people are, you know, 1 or 2 people that kind of came in over time, but the 3 or 4 core people had been there for a couple of years and working together for 4 or 5 years. And man, it was like I saw what a great crew looked like, and we just didn't have the call volume. And then I got to a station where, you know, we did have the call volume, and you know, I kind of had to hurry up and get with the program because they're used to doing things a certain way. And it was awesome. I mean, it took probably a month or two to get my first like interior fire. We had a couple of shed fires and stuff like that at that first station, but that first one, it was probably 5 blocks from the firehouse. I mean, we turned the corner, and we had been, you know, sent to a couple box alarms before that, and that, you know, were smells and bells are not anything, you know, nothing showing, you know, quick. And you know, okay, so we had, you know, we had the dress rehearsal a couple times, and my engineer at the time, like the bay door is going up, and I'm getting dressed, and he's like, oh, I see the column, and I'm like, yo, you know, holy shit, oh, okay, and he's like, no, nah, I'm kidding, get in, and I'm like, oh man, well, sure enough, we turn the corner and go down the road, and we make the street that the fire's on. And that engine at the time, there was a big like map, you know, box container, extra gloves and whatnot. And I could only see through the front windshield, you know, 4 or 5 inches from the back seat. And sure enough, I lean over, and it was a trailer. So take it, you know, that is what it is. But it was, you know, dark black turbulent smoke coming out the D side. And I mean, as jacked up as I'm like, holy crap, all right, you know, we're doing it. And he pulled up, there was a hydrant right in front of the house, and it was great. I mean, we still had wired headsets at the time, and I remember it got all twisted up in my air pack somehow, and I got off the truck and just kept walking until the headset pulled off my head. I was all jacked up, and no, it was great. At the time, the senior guy on the they kind of rotated the between the med unit and the engine, so the two like senior firefighters had a similar amount of time, and it was great. He's like, all right, let's go. And I turned around, and he's, you know, I was masked up, ready to go, and he's like, all right. And that was that. So it was great. And then going forward, I spent 3.5 years after that with that crew, and it was awesome. My engineer was the typical engineer. I mean, he calm, cool, collected. He knew that first two like the back of his hand, like, nope, where I'm gonna avoid this street because there's a pothole, at this corner, and I don't like the speed bump at the end of the road. And it was great. My officer was, let everyone fill their role as need be, and only, needed to step in when maybe we didn't have the answer. But I mean, there was at that time almost 30 years of, both my officer and engineer had been on the job like 13, 14, 15 years. So, and my senior fireman, she was amazing. I mean, she was the one that taught me what the job is. I mean, I had an idea, and I was always passionate and cared, but I think she, with her, gentle redirection a couple of times, I going to a fire is important too, but so is that 2:30 in the morning lift assist. Like
Right.
everything matters, not just the things that, maybe we get excited about, whether it's a, an entrapment or a pin job or a fire or something. Or, she was kind of always a voice of reason, like, no, everything that we do here matters. Like, no one says, hey, today's a good day to call 911. Now, going forward, maybe some of those things happen, but, from the being the new guy and that mindset, she really reinforced that, almost daily. So it was great. I mean, it got to the point that with that crew that, you'd turn around and, if it was a medical call and the medic on the rescue was like, hey, I need the, and someone be handed it to him, or, hey, can we on an entrapment, hey, can, and there it is. And it was great. I mean, it really, that crew really showed me what, a cohesive, competent, crew looks like and functions like. And everyone knew, wives or girlfriends or husbands or boyfriends or kids, and we did things outside of work together, and all sorts of stuff. So it was really the, and I had that at the first station, just it was not, I wasn't there long enough, I think, to build that kind of
Right.
camaraderie yet, because I was new, I was timid. And over time, that my probationary year really kind of set the foundation for going forward. And then luckily at that department, once you're assigned somewhere, you're assigned. You're not, you might move apparatus. Like I end up driving the med unit, the rescue, a couple of times. Now everyone can get, in Florida, rescues are, or an ambulance, right, with two
Right.
firefighters in an air pack, and we have hand tools and water cans and stuff. And down here, the heavy rescue, we call them squads. But so I drove the rescue a fair bit, and made a couple entrapments and a couple fires from the rescue, because you're leaving the hospital and out and about, and it's just you. I was as an EMT, it's just you and a medic, and kind of get, I want to say, free rein, but like, hey, I think we can beat those guys, or I think, if we turn right here, we might, get to show up first. So made a couple, good calls from the rescue, and a lot of nights of, two or three or four or five transports after midnight. And no, it was great. Thoroughly enjoyed my time there. They do have a requirement that you go to paramedic school and be assigned off and cleared medic within 3 years. And so throughout that time, I started paramedic school at about the six month mark of probation, and medic school is a year. So I was like, okay, I'll get through medic school and have, a year and a half to kind of get my national registry medic test done, the clearing process, that kind of stuff. And well, backtracking a little bit, in about the fourth grade, right before I got sick, they found out that I'm dyslexic and have an auditory processing disorder, which is a fancy way of saying that sometimes reading things, I get things kind of twisted up, different from dyslexia, where it's just kind of words or letters or stuff backwards. So, spent a lot of time in the fourth grade summer in a program to kind of help going forward fix some of that. Well, fast forward to medic school, I didn't say any of that to the college I went to. I was like, it was a little bit of an ego thing. I'm not, being 100% transparent. I was like, no, I'm 24 years old. I don't need this anymore. Blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe I did, or I should have said something, because I struggled through medic school. Out of 3 semesters, I ended up repeating 2 of them. So I made a 3 semester program, a 5 semester program, and through all that, this is about the, I think I started the fall semester in 2018 of paramedic school, and I was halfway through it, in the through the repeated semesters and stuff. I was halfway through it when COVID hit, Florida in 2020, that first couple months of 2020. And that put a real damper on medic school. We were doing class online, but clinical wise or the lab skills stuff that we had to do, we weren't able to go to class. So that kind of, threw a wrench in the timeline, and I had to be a cleared medic by the, end of January of 2021. So I, through the struggles and stuff, I end up finishing medic school in the fall semester of 2020. So, that didn't leave a whole lot of time. The department was, kind of willing to work with us because of COVID and shut down school. So I got a little bit of time back, like added to the end of my 3 year mark. But unfortunately, I was not successful on the 2 attempts that I took the national registry that time, and that kind of ate up that time that they gave back. So I was kind of between a rock and a hard place. I wanted to stay there, and I loved that department. I still do, love those people that I worked with. Got to learn a lot and run a lot of great calls, and just gained a ton of experience. But it wasn't in the cards. And I end up leaving for a neighboring department, and which where or being a medic was not required, but was pretty, I don't know, heavily influenced, or they would like you to be a medic. It wasn't a contract or anything like that. But so I got hired there, and was all good. I kind of grew up closer to that area too, so I had a good idea of what, the county looked like and things like that. And showed up to it again. I've been super lucky with getting great crews. I don't know if that's the man upstairs, if that's maybe, I don't know what, it's certainly, I don't think it's 100% me, because there's no way I'm that good at all. But showed up to another great crew. Very different first do makeup. I went from, kind of made the joke when I was at that station in Orange County, like the hood adjacent, not quite, but we were busy enough, to a very, very different makeup, like large homes, kind of lower call volume. But I mean, some of those homes are in that area were, 4, 5, 6, 10,000 square feet. I'm like, this almost seems like a commercial box alarm size. I mean, that's 10,000 square feet. There's pools inside. So it was very different. And learned a lot there. Like, got to see, kind of had to change the thought process from, a regular 3-2 duplex or, a 3-2 block home or a trailer to a McMansion, like that kind of changes, not that you ever want to be disoriented, but in a, 1100 or 1000 square foot home, you dump in a bedroom during a search or something and conditions change and you got to go out a window, there's a window right there. Like some of that, those size homes, like we went in one for I remember specifically because we got back in the truck to talk about it. And, we were in a bathroom that was the size of most living rooms. Like, this is huge. Like, you could get turned around in here real quick. So, so that was definitely a different, mindset, and kind of got to see, a different side of, tactically and things like that. So that was great. And the guys that I worked with were awesome. And, I made only one, but I did make a fire with those guys and it was great. And, having a good time. And my time there was, cut short abruptly by some decisions I made. So we went out one night. Some of us on the crew went out one night, and, I had specifically four adult beverages, four beers, and we kind of got beat up the night before, and that was our first night off, and didn't think anything of it. I mean, I've been tired before. I was 27, 28. Didn't think anything of it. Hey, I'm a little tired, but I'll go hang out with the guys. And on the way home, I end up I did fall asleep in the turn lane, and woke up to law enforcement knocking on my window, asking what's going on. And I mean, as the story goes, that was that. Unfortunately, I was arrested for driving under the influence, and I was still on probation at that department at the time. And I, a couple people have said, hey, maybe, mentioning that you worked for the fire department or, something like that, maybe that would have changed, an outcome of that evening, so to speak. And I mean, they could be correct. I'm not sure, but at least from my point of view and my mindset, that, we, good, bad, or indifferent, I do think in public service, whether it's law enforcement or the fire service or EMS or the military, like, we kind of are held to a higher standard. I mean, I'm sure we've all run those calls anyway, where someone made a poor decision and caused, an accident or someone to get hurt. So, to me, that wasn't the right, that wasn't the right idea or the right thing to mention. So I mean, I did the whole thing. I got put in the back of a squad car and, got taken to jail, and that was that. And at the time, like I said, I was on probation. So I tried to, I gave it a little bit of time, try to figure out, legally what was going to happen. Luckily, again, through, I think the man upstairs with a greater plan, I wasn't ultimately charged with a DUI. It was a lesser charge, more of a traffic infraction, just the way things played out. But I did choose to resign through, at that time, because I was on probation and I knew enough of the game to know that, I mean, probation is, they make the joke, your name's written in pencil, it's not in pen yet. And, that department didn't say anything good or bad, like, hey, this is the end of your time here, or hey, we'll, figure this out and keep going. They kind of left it up to me, and I felt the right decision at the time was, I made that decision for myself, say, hey, I need to separate. I need to kind of work on myself. I need to get my, my act together here. And so that was the beginning of 2022. And so, you know, kind of coming to the realization that, okay, you know, I'm not currently working somewhere, I'm not currently on the job, was a lot to handle, because after the whole medic situation and leaving the first department because I didn't make the medic requirement, that, you know, I could have studied more, I could have studied better, I could ask for more help, and you know, I'm kind of in a, going forward now, I'm kind of in a similar boat where, you know, maybe I shouldn't have gone that night, or, you know, I should have gotten a ride from someone else, or, you know, an Uber or a Lyft idea. And I kind of, I was, you know, I had, you know, four beers and, you know, almost 4 hours. Like they always, you know, you always hear the thing like one drink an hour.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And, you know, so I, you know, it is what it is. It happened. And I kind of had to start over. So for the next 2 years after that, I was doing manual labor. I was doing construction, and I was making just enough money on Friday to get back to work on Monday. And, you know, it taught me a lot. I mean, I've always had a passion, and I always loved the job and the fire service as a whole, and believed in the idea of service. Like that was always been an important thing to me. But I think from the outside, looking in, it really kind of showed what, like, it kind of showed me, you know, how to put things in better perspective. You know, I maybe as a, you know, I'm 30 now. So it was, you know, almost 4 years ago, but I do think I didn't appreciate the job enough. I didn't appreciate how fragile, you know, my position actually was. I mean, I kind of thought I was king of crap mountain, you know, like I've been to a fire, I've cut a car, I've gone to some medical calls. Maybe not outwardly, you know, I don't think I would classify myself at that time as, you know, being cocky by any means, but I was definitely very confident in myself. And I think that maybe internally bled into maybe being a little bit cocky, you know, potentially. And I think that's where that situation arose from. So for 2 years, I was, you know, working for an electrical contractor, digging ditches and burying, you know, underground conduit on a construction site through, you know, two Florida summers, which the heat's never bothered me. But when you're outside all the time with a post hole digger, you know, driving trying to dig a 6 foot, you know, a hole with a 5 foot post hole digger, you end up laying in the dirt. So, not something that I thoroughly enjoyed or loved. I mean, I was still getting to be outside and do, you know, hard work and was physical. So I appreciated that aspect of it, but certainly not, you know, I was not overly passionate about construction. But on the flip side of that, it was mostly commercial. So I did get to take a better look and kind of understand some like commercial building construction, which I've never been terrible at, you know, understanding things or mechanical inclination. I mean, from all the years of racing and working on small motors and my dad always tinkering or building something in the garage, like that kind of mindset always made sense to me. But to see kind of a, you know, commercial building start to finish, from the underground work to the slab to either tilt wall or block construction, from a commercial aspect, you know, I definitely was picking up things that I, you know, I'm grateful for now going forward, fire service wise. So, and it was to the point that like I would carry an A-frame, an 8 or 10 or 12 foot A-frame fiberglass ladder, and I was spiking it on the side of the building just to make sure I didn't forget or didn't lose that or anything. So I was always trying to, relate something to the
Right.
fire service. It was always, I was always trying to, make sure I kept kind of up to speed. And luckily the foreman I worked for was, pretty understanding. And after kind of my legal situation got taken care of, and was about a year, maybe 14 months or so that I had been working there. They knew that at some point I wanted to go back to the fire service. That, I mean, I talked about it almost exclusively, so they kind of knew that was my plan, but they were super willing and able to accommodate, either going to test for, a department, or hey, I need an interview to, I need to be off for the morning tomorrow. I got an interview. So I'm super thankful that, again, not any of my own doing, but big man upstairs was looking out that I was, I had kind of I don't want to say freedom, but had the ability to, make those things when a department would call and say, hey, can you come and do an interview, or can you come test tomorrow, and it's Tuesday, and they're like, hey, can you be here Wednesday or Thursday? And I'd be like, oh yeah, no problem. So that, doing that construction at the time was really advantageous to helping me get back, to the fire service. So I appreciate those, those guys and my foreman at the time for, allowing that. But I also could wear my headphones, or wear one headphone in, the majority of the day, and I wasn't going to work, I wasn't hanging out at the firehouse, I wasn't able to do any of those things. And so I started looking for ways to fill my, my fire service cup. So I found, a ton of podcasts. That's where I found yours. I found The Scrap, the Grabs podcast, all these different things that, are obviously all fire service related, but all kind of have a different, view or a different kind of, flow to them. And I listened to 40 hours worth of podcast a week. It was, I mean, in that aspect, it was great. I mean, I got to listen to a ton of stuff, and it definitely helped keep me going, because there was a lot of, hey, we really like your interview, we really like you, but your driving history. There was a lot of those. I mean, I can't, I maybe 12 or 13 times I would test and get a, get a panel interview, and then get a, hey, thanks, but unfortunately, which I completely understand. I mean, it's a big question mark, right? When that shows up on someone's, record or driving record. And so I completely understood that, but I'm not gonna sit here and pretend that it wasn't, slightly disheartening that, I'm like, hey, I just wanna go to work. I've never had a dream department. I don't have any family, around here, like I said, that's in the fire service. So there was not a specific place. I'm like, this is the only place I want to work. I mean, I remember distinctly in one interview, I said, why do you want to work here? And I said, I'm going to be honest, I just want to put gear on a fire truck and go to calls every day. Like, that's the only thing I want to do, is show up and put gear on a truck and go do the job. And the department I'm currently at, I tested early on, or the very end of 2023, kind of before the holiday season started, and didn't really hear anything. And I mean, I knew enough to know that, they kind of get stuff going before the holidays, and then, this time of the year shows up, Thanksgiving, Christmas, things kind of slow down admin wise. So I wasn't too concerned that I didn't hear anything, but after a couple of weeks after the new year, I started calling and I was like, hey, is there any movement? Is there anything else I need to do? And out of the blue, a couple, maybe a month or two later, I got a phone call, and it was the fire chief. And he said, hey, is this Kyle Piverl? I'm saying, yes, sir. I was actually at the construction site, and they're cutting concrete and things are, so I'm trying to scurry away so I can hear him. He's like, hey, this is fire and chief, so and so from, this fire department. And I was like, oh, yes, sir. And he's like, how's your day going? I'm like, it's going pretty good. And he's like, how about I make your day better? And I was like, chief, that'd be pretty awesome. He's like, would you like a job with us? And I said, yes, sir, more than anything. And he was like, great. I have two questions. We know you're what happened. I know you said it in the interview. But yeah, I have two questions. Did you learn from it? I said, yes, sir, obviously more than just the obvious. And he said, great. You ever going to do it again? Said, no, sir, not a chance. I learned far more than I think, obviously the obvious reasons for, getting in trouble with something like that. But I mean, it taught me a lot of, maybe I didn't know for myself how I felt about the job, or how fragile it is, or how much I do truly appreciate, getting to do this. And he said, great. Well, sounds good, See you in 2 weeks. I was like, well, I can be there tomorrow. And he's like, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. We'll see you in a little bit. And that was the beginning of 2024. So I've been there since April 1st, which again, I was like, this seems kind of funny. April
April
1st.
Fools.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, I'm going to show up and they're going to be like, gotcha, not today. But yeah, so that was April 1st of last year of 2024, and it's been great ever since. So super happy to be in this boat where I'm at. Super appreciative.
No, so there's never, here's the thing about like the world I just want to put out there, like, so because me and you, we're having a conversation. Every I don't want to say everybody, but there are a decent number of people that think that mistakes don't happen. Or if the person makes a mistake, oh, they're just like terrible. Or, we don't want that person. And the thing about life is we all make mistakes. And it could be very minuscule, it could be minor, it starts going up. Minuscule, minor, moderate, serious, severe. Like there, to me, there's different tiers, right? But what happened to you, I can tell you from my experience, I think happens on a daily basis. Okay. And I say that because I don't drink. So like, anytime I'm talking to someone, they're like, hey man, hey, if I'm at a conference or taking a hot class afterwards, it's like, hey, come to the bar, we'll have a beer. And I'm like, sure, I'll come to the bar. I'm not gonna have a beer. And then like when I don't, people are like, oh, you don't drink? And I'm like, no, but it's all good. Like we can still talk. But the thing is, in my experience, I have known many firefighters. We've meet up somewhere at a restaurant. They've had quite a few beverages, and then we're done and we're all heading home our separate ways, and they get in their vehicle and drive. Is it the right thing to do? I don't know. Because one thing I will say is everybody's threshold level is different. I have known, and I still know people who can, to me, drink a lot, but they're 100% on point. So it's like, okay, and then I know that some will drink some, have a little something, and then they're like, fucked up. And it's like, oh, okay. So, I've learned, your blood alcohol content, everybody physically is different when it comes to drinking. So what you did, it's not unusual. You know what I mean? Like I said, and I'm sure anyone listening knows firefighters who do that. Like, have a couple of beverages, get in their car, and then they get home. And that's great. The percentage was in their favor. And then there are some that have a close call. And when that close call happens, let's just say, well, I don't know, a checkpoint, because in my area, cops do checkpoints sometimes. And they're approaching and it's like, hey, such and such. And the cop will either see the tag. Or when they get to the window, it's, hey, how are you? Blah, blah. Hey, what are y'all doing today? Whatever. Blah, blah. Yeah, I'm with the fire department here. They throw that card out. And you mentioned how you didn't want to do that. And dude, I commend you for it. I think we all kind of sometimes play that. Let me use this card real quick. Like for me, if I ever get pulled over and I put my window down, I have a our old uniforms, we were getting rid of them, and so like I have cut the patch and I hang it on my rear view visor. You know what I mean? So like if a cop happens to look in, he'd be like, oh, fire, huh? Yeah, sir, but I'm not saying nothing. It's there, it's visible. We all do it. Stickers on the windows. Thin red line tags, whatever the case may be, or you just blatantly say, hey, I'm a fireman. But I say all that to say, like, I appreciate you being 100% so open to discussing that. Because here's the thing, there are a decent number of firefighters out there who have had bad experiences, who have made bad decisions, who had unfortunately have had to leave organizations that they loved. And had to figure their shit out, had to figure life out. And if you look at who they are today, they are company officers, they're chief officers, they're firefighters, they're drivers, and they're doing great things. And they've left that life behind. Some of them have sworn never to drink again. And some have, hey, I'm still gonna drink, but I'm gonna do it responsibly. You know what I'm saying? So, I appreciate you coming on and talking about that because you didn't have to do that. Not a lot of people like to admit their faults and mistakes and things like that, especially in a fire service where dudes are like competing against each other. Like, I'm better than you, I'm badder than you. And for me, I've never wanted to be that guy, because we all know those guys, the one uppers. You tell the story, they're gonna have to one up you on the next story, and all that stuff. Like, I'm just a dude. I'm trying to get better at the job every day. I'm trying to be the best version of myself, and I know for a fact, like, there's somebody out there better than me. Whenever you think like you're a badass, you're not, because you'll like go to a conference and you'll see like a stature of a dude, and you're like, holy shit, like this dude's big. Like, you think like I'm big, and it's like you meet somebody else that's like, hold my beer, like I'll fuck you up. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, and it's just one of those things that I just want people to understand, like, don't judge a book by its cover. Just because you haven't made a mistake like that doesn't mean you haven't done something in your past that's, if it got out, people might look at you differently. So I love the fact that you were open about it. You talked about it. But I also love the fact that you were able to have an organization see that and go, like, hey, I think this person has understood their faults and mistakes. Let's give them a second chance. And that's, I say all that to say, I sincerely feel like, as a country, we don't believe in second chances. It's oh, he, nope, they this person did this, that, and the other, we're done, write them off, next person. And it's like, people make mistakes. There are mistakes worse than others, and there are, to me, some mistakes that, man, like, there's no coming back from that. But what you did, and what so many other firefighters I know have been in your same boat, whether it's drinking or substance abuse, or because we don't know what people go through, we don't know what people see on a daily basis, we don't live their lives, we're so quick to judge. You know, to me nowadays, it's not innocent till proven guilty. It's guilty till proven innocent. I swear we have it flipped now in this world, in this society that we're in. So, with that being said, how is that department now? Like, explain how being on this new organization, what it means to you.
I mean, it means everything. Again, I kind of that time when I got in trouble, life was a little bumpy. And now things are much better. I mean, the relationship I'm in, my girlfriend, she's amazing. At that time we weren't officially dating yet, but she's been behind me like a number one supporter. And I think that has a lot to do with it. But again, I got, to this department and or my department, and I most of the there it size wise, they're a little bit smaller than the two previous ones. And as a whole, not quite as busy. We have a lot of city departments in that area that we run with. With auto aid and mutual aid, sometimes exclusively, sometimes it's a mixed bag. I mean, it's not uncommon to, I mean, we just went to a fire couple, two, three shifts ago, and there was what, 3 to 3.5. There's a department that covers an area that has their own department, but either way. So there was like all, four different departments on scene. So that is a bit of a learning curve, but the people are great. Again, I think I got lucky with, again, showing up to the first house I was assigned to. Again, I felt like I got lucky and showed up to a great crew that kind of already had, that camaraderie and that, crew mindset together. And I was just the new guy again, which I'm A-okay with. Certainly not, the most awesome thing to be brand new again, but at that, it didn't bother me one bit. I was just happy to get to show up to work every day and put gear on a fire engine and go down the road. But no, the people are amazing. The people down at training are, again, passionate and care about the product that, they're given to the whole department. And things are changing, and we're, from talking to some of the guys that have been there a little while, or they're, for 20 years, this is definitely the time to be here in this department, and it's great. I mean, we're kind of changing some apparatus specs to, be, more fire focused. So my two previous departments, all every house had a transport unit, had a rescue or a med unit. And going forward now, out of 19 stations, we only have two med units. We only have two units that transport, because we do have a county EMS system that predominantly does the transport. Now, those two stations that do have the transport units are in the very corners of the county. So most of the county med units are focused, in higher populated areas, because that's kind of where more of the transports come from. And there's a couple city departments that transport or have one or two bed units. So it's definitely a more, as the whole county, between the county department and the cities and the county EMS and city transport, everyone's kind of more cohesive. Like, we We might get a county med unit. We might get a city med unit on a medical call. And, we might go to a fire call and have, like I said, two or three different departments. And, each department kind of has their own, like niche things that we do differently. But for the most part, we're all on the same dispatch system. We all have not quite the exact same, SOGs, but close enough that they're, on scene, you're not going to notice a difference. So that's been great. And I through the new hire orientation process there, I again tried to kind of keep my mouth shut. I was with some guys that were fresh out of the fire academy and all great, work ethic and attitudes, but it is a little bit different. Like, we were doing search or doing forcible entry, and they're like, "Oh, why?" One of the guys I got hired with was like, "Why'd you do it that way?" I'm like, "Oh, because blah blah blah." And they're like, "Oh, we did the whole introduction thing, and do you work anywhere before?" Yes, we did all that. But I, not trying to downplay it, but that's what I learned, or that's the way. Someone a different organization did it, and I'm here to learn this way and make sure that I can do the things that they the way they want it done, which there wasn't any major difference. But so I tried to kind of keep my my mouth shut, so to speak, unless I was asked by an instructor or somebody else, like, "Hey, what do you think? We know that you, got a little bit of time from somewhere else. Like, what do you think about this?" And so outside of those situations, I try to just be quiet. And which anyone that knows me well enough is knows that that's kind of tough. Like, I definitely talk too much. So I, being a little older this time around, I tried to be more aware of that. So it was great. I mean, again, I showed up to, I got assigned to a great crew, and that officer was a part of the new hire orientation as well. So he got to see me for those 8 weeks before I showed up to the firehouse, and he's been a huge part of kind of, I don't want to say success, but my success, being there. And I was super thankful again. We don't have a dedicated or a promoted driver spot in this department. But the crew I had there, and then now that I'm on the ladder, both crews, there's definitely a, an official, unofficial driver. I mean, my driver now is, knows everything about that truck. Same with the crew I had originally for my probationary period was, that guy could get water out of a cactus being on, that first crew on the engine. I mean, he could put the, the rear tires of that truck on a dime and knew every street, every bump again. So like I said previously, just got lucky. And so again, the don't necessarily, love talking about it. But I was through our annual awards, I was awarded the recruit or probationary firefighter of the year, which I appreciate is a huge accomplishment. For myself, just the last couple of years, kind of trying to get back to, things going the right way. It definitely was a not outwardly, but in again inwardly, like a feather in my cap that, okay, all the time that I did spend away from the fire service was not for nothing. I definitely grew from it, and it was an uncomfortable time. And I got stickers on my water bottle and all over the place that, mention adversity or comfort is the enemy of growth. And I think that's the easiest to see working out or sweating by yourself in the bay in the middle of a gear workout. You're like, "Dude, this, this is rough." But I think it's those type of situations where you, you do grow the most. So with that, it was, it was something that that I was proud of, and it was cool because it comes from the department. It comes from line personnel. So there's, you know, the way they do it is, you know, you kind of fill in the blank for each, you know, separate kind of acknowledgement or, you know, award. Hey, you know, they send it out. Hey, pick, you know, what person do you think should do this? And then it goes back to a voting system. So it was, again, it was kind of nice to see that other people saw the way that I, you know, I treat the job and feel about it now. So that was, you know, definitely something that I was, you know, I guess I would say I was excited about that, you know, people saw my passion, which is, you know, that means a lot to me too, that, you know, someone else saw what, you know, I feel towards right. it. So it was great. And, you know, super thankful and appreciative of that. And, you know, just recently, I got asked to come back to help with, just for a day, just for, I think it was a tryout, which is totally fair because I've never actually instructed anything. But I got asked to come back and help, with a day of our new hires that are currently in the new hire academy right now. So again, just another kind of, wow, like it, you know, I didn't think I, you know, I'm just a backseat fireman who's kind of a goofball, you know, like, you know, they said, hey, do you want to come, you know, do this? And I was like, well, that's an honor in itself just to be asked to, you know, to help out. So it was great. And I didn't get to explain to those, you know, new guys that kind of where my mindset comes from, but it was something that I always thought I would enjoy, you know, kind of helping out in that aspect through training, and certainly not an instructor by any means. That's definitely, I'm a long ways from that, but just trying to spread, you know, I make the joke, like trying to spread the poison that it is cool to love the job. It is cool to be passionate. Like, you know, giving a shit matters, you know? And, so I was super thankful for that opportunity again, and it was only for 1 8-hour day, which was great. I mean, I got to talk to some guys individually, and we have a standard now that through probation and to get off probation and out a new hire that, along with other things, but, you know, to be masked up with your gloves on in under 30 seconds, like that is a hard standard that to get out of the new hire academy you have to make. And then throughout, you know, each of the phases of probation, that is something that they get tested on each time. And a couple of them, now it was early on, I think they'd only been in you know, a week or two, and a couple of them were semi struggling with the whole idea of how to find the hood with gloves on. And so there were some things that I found out through, you know, listening to people and, you know, great instruction from, again, the instructors down at, you know, my department at training, that, you know, I've not, you know, nothing that I've learned, obviously I've come up with on my own, like none of it. It's all, you know, given to me, or I've listened to it. You know, there's not one thing that I can say that, like, oh, I figured that out. Nope. Either someone yelled at me enough, or, you know, talked to me enough, or I listened to that. You know, it's all somebody else's. And I think that's kind of the best part, is that, I mean, I've heard plenty of people say it from guests you've had on, you know, previous guests, and, you know, just in general, that, you know, knowledge that isn't shared is wasted. You know, you have an individual, you know, has all this knowledge, and, you know, just to keep it to yourself sometimes is, you know, you're not getting to share it and getting to make others around you better. So if I can be a tiny, 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 you know, microscopic piece of that, then, you know, I'm thankful, because, you know, plenty of people have poured into me with knowledge and hey, did you ever think about this? Or hey, try this. Or and if I can, somehow, some way be a tiny piece of that for someone else, like, I'm happy. I mean, that's kind of the whole reason that I try to share my situation and my stuff. Is it's obviously not it's not a highlight. It's not something I'm super proud of. But it is something that happened. It is something that I had to, deal with. It is something that I had to overcome. And if I can share that side of it and say, hey, look, like you said earlier, mistakes do happen, but it is something that I think, from being sick, that was out of my control. That was just something I had to deal with and figure it out. And, to getting in trouble, that was 100% my own doing, right? So two very different beginnings of the situation, but the backside of them were both, hey, how do I, figure this out? And through my faith and through my parents and my core group of friends that I've had, I mean, at this point, we're almost all 30. So for 20 plus years, 25 years, we've all, and, now my girlfriend, it has all those two things have, I think, made me who I am today. And so if I can, again, share that and just be like, hey, look, it gets bumpy, it's not always the smoothest road or whatever, but that, there is, I do believe there is a reason for adversity, or, there is a reason, sometimes whether it's self-induced or, decisions you made it as an individual, I do think there's, reason behind it. It's definitely tough to see on the front side of it. That's for sure. But I, looking back, I think people, if, hearing that, like the two lowest points kind of in my 30 years, like being sick and getting in trouble, would be like, oh, those are the two worst things. And I was like, well, they definitely were not awesome, but I think I've heard someone say like post-traumatic growth. Everyone talks about post-traumatic stress, but that kind of idea that something traumatic, whether you did it to yourself or not, there can be growth from that. And I do think that, again, from my faith in, in Jesus and my parents and in the way that I was taught things from that, like those two things kind of sped up a lot of, kind of shortened the learning curve on some things. And, I'm just super thankful in an odd sense that I did go through both of those things. 'Cause now I have such a better understanding, I think, of life in general and the way that, I view not just the fire service, but again, life in general through, my relationship with my parents or, and with my girlfriend and things like that. So it has been, those two things that have made me the man I am, the fireman, all that kind of stuff. Like those are, I'm just super thankful that I'm on the backside of both of those things and got to learn the lessons that I did from that, because I'm just super thankful for those things. I know it sounds odd sometimes, but I don't know where I would be without that uncertainty.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And the only people who are going to get what you're trying to say are the ones who have gone through adversity, have gone through, may not be exact experiences, but they can relate, they can relate to being down on hard times, because nothing is perfect. Like, we're all going to go through ups and downs, ebbs and flows. But the key takeaways are you understood the decision that was made at the time. You didn't try to point the finger, blame it on anybody else. Like, you took 100% ownership. And that's the thing. We're all going to do something wrong. We're all going to make mistakes, but we can't just be like, well, if such and such didn't or whatever. Like, no, stop. Own it. Face the consequences, learn from it, grow from it, and become better. And I think that's what you've done. Obviously, the people who you are around have helped that. The fact that you were able to listen to podcasts to change your mindset. I mean, because people can't see it right now, but right now you're wearing a Rogue Firemanship hat. So, Mr. Broberg, Logan Broberg is probably somebody you feel like, hey, I look up to, and I'm sure if he listens to it, he's probably automatically going, nope, like that's not me. But it is, because he's also one of those people I put in my circle of whenever I feel like, oh, I don't want to do this or I'm tired, it's like one more rep, one more step, keep moving forward. And there's so many other people out there. And I'm sure by you listening to the podcast, you've picked up on different people you can follow on social media that you can kind of put together, form that mindset and go, okay, like whenever things get tough, I'm not going to stop or quit the pity patty. Why me? Why, like, learn from it and move on. And that's the whole. To me, this is the whole concept of this entire conversation is you still love the job. You're very open and vocal about it. And like you said earlier, man, just give a shit. Like, literally, if you're in this job, just give a shit. Like, it's not a job where you should try to focus on what the job can do for you. It's 100% reversed. Like, what can you do for the job to better yourself for not only you, your crew, your organization, but ultimately the citizens that we serve? So, I mean, like I said, from what I've seen, man, humility, growth, you have a loving, supporting system around you at home. And yeah, you made a mistake, you moved on. Obviously, your department has seen that. Being granted getting that award, that shows that people are watching what you're doing and will continue to watch. And two, that's where I feel like also there's a little caveat. Because of your situation, you probably have a little bit more attention on you. And it's going to be from the ones who unfortunately might want to see you fail. You know what I mean? But with the way you talked and just hearing your experience, man, I can just see like you're focused, you're dialed in. And to me, there's nowhere more you can go but up. Like it's on the up and up. So like I said, man, I just want to thank you for coming on and speaking the truth, because I've had guests on here that have been through some shit. You know what I mean? And so others might be like, well, I don't know if you should put that person on there because, they've done this or that. While you've had other guests on here that may be the pinnacle in their eyes, but I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing with people. Like, I don't know of a perfect person except for one person. And that's you've clearly stated them a couple times. Like, that's the only person I know that's perfect. Just because we don't know what's going on that person doesn't mean that they're not having issues. So I say that to say, Kyle, seriously, man, like, thank you for coming on. Thank you for sharing this experience, because you didn't have to do that. Like, when you reached out, you showed you in your email, it was a long email. I'm like, holy cow, like, this
I know,
dude's
I
serious.
apologize for that
No,
one.
and but it showed like, no, this dude's not trying to come on here to be like, hey, look, I was on a podcast. You know what I mean? Because you are putting yourself out there. You are wanting other people to know, like, listen, mistakes are going to happen. The biggest thing is learning from it. And like I said, dude, I just want to say thank you. I just want to say hopefully your trend continues up. And my last question I want to ask for you is, what's next? What are your goals? What are you looking to do? Because you're still very young. So what are you looking to do? Later on down the line, especially when it comes to the fire service.
So I'm currently back in paramedic school. So I through the temps on the national registry and all that stuff, and out of school, I have to go completely back through a paramedic program. So I'm currently back in medic school, which again is kind of funny. You know, I've done a couple things that most people don't want to repeat, be, you know, probation and paramedic school. So, you know, maybe I'm just you know, got to do things the hard way. I don't know. But outside of that, I appreciate, you know, the taking the time out of your day to, you know, kind of one, read the email. I know it was super wordy. I tried to give you, you know, the best paint, you know, paint the best picture, the best size possible. But now going forward, get through medic school, obviously, you know, that's first and foremost. Again, I'm on another a contract to be a medic. So I'm really hoping this one sticks this time. I hope I'm a little older and a little wiser this time, but no, just kind of, you know, keep, you know, plugging away and at, you know, at trying to fine tune the craft of firemanship. I mean, I think, you know, going forward at some point, I don't know when that is. I would like to, you know, make the jump to company officer. I've had, you know, some great officers, and it's not something that I want to take lightly. I mean, at my current department, you can test, because we don't have a you know, promoted driver spot right now. You can test for that front right seat in 4 years. And, you know, I'm almost halfway to that point currently. But I don't know if in two more years, you know, I will be, you know, by my own standard, ready for that. Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I do think it's one of the things that you kind of just, you know, have to, you know, if that's something that you want to do, you kind of just have to, you know, kind of jump in with both feet at some point. I mean, I'm certainly not a parent yet. Life-wise, that's, you know, that's on the horizon as well. I mean, so I think they're, you know, very different, but I think they're similar. Like, you know, you don't know how to be a parent until you are, and then mm-hmm. you just got to figure it out the best you can. Mm-hmm. I mean, my girlfriend's amazing. She's like, you just figure it out. You know, you do, you know, good people raise good kids, but you just do. And, that's, you know, I have a very similar mindset towards being an officer. So at some point, I mean, I still have kind of those classes to take. But yeah, I mean, get through medical school and kind of figure out what's going on, and maybe slowly start working on some officer stuff. But outside of that, I mean, that my tech classes and stuff to be on the squad, or, you know, that's something I'd like to do as well, from, you know, from VMR and ropes and, you know, trench and structural collapse and, you know, that kind of stuff. Luckily, my department, the squad, handles all the TRT stuff, and we do have a dedicated hazmat team and a hazmat, you know, they have their own units. So those things don't coincide. You can be on one or the other. I mean, you can be on both, but so that's kind of cool, because, you know, as much as I, you know, love everything, hazmat is a whole different world, and ethyl methylazine and all, you know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how much I, luckily we have some really great people on, you know, that there's super passionate about hazmat. So that's great. But yeah, I mean, just trying to continue to better myself. I mean, you mentioned, you know, Broberg with Rogue Firemanship, and he's, his department's, you know, a couple minutes south of me. But I mean, I just went to a conference at the beginning of the week. Now, I only was only able to go one day because of medic school, but he was teaching up there, and I took his class at that same conference last year, up in St. Augustine, Ancient City. So I got to speak with him a couple times, and actually a guy I went to fire academy with is on his crew down there at his department. So that was, you know, super cool, like kind of small world. So yeah, just trying to, you know, be a little better every day. and trying to keep like I said earlier, kind of that the joke of like spread the poison, like just trying to get 10% of the pressure 100% of the time, just trying to get more people involved in the idea of loving the job. And I mean, I've heard you say it before, and I got to remind myself of it, that the fire service doesn't necessarily owe us as individuals anything, and it will be there when we're gone and retired. And it is something that it's a big wheel, and it's going to keep turning whether anyone's involved in it individually or not. But I think the biggest part is, for me, is being the best that I can be for my, for my crew, for my, community, for my, the citizens. But also, I think the more that you do as an individual, I think other people see and they're like, oh, I want that guy, and not that, not from a cocky point of view, but knowing like, we're good today. We got a solid group with us today, or something like that. And I think that the better that you are at this job, one, it's way more fun, when you look back and be like, oh, we could tweak that, and we could be faster here, we could do more here. But I, and you get an 8 out of 10 from from the tailboard critique, you're like, that's pretty good. It's a lot of fun. And I think the better that you are, and the more that, whether it's fitness wise or tactics or just kind of fire ground knowledge, the more likely you are to make it home at the end of the shift, if you do get that kind of end of the world situation fire wise. So one, 1% at a time, right? Trying to just be better. So
Definitely.
no, I appreciate hearing me out, and if one person gets to hear it and goes, ah, maybe I've been rolling the dice, or maybe I've been kind of making some not so great decisions, I'm here to say that it's not awesome. Like I said, I'm not something I'm proud of by any means, but I'm thankful for going through it. But yeah, if it's real easy, the job is pretty fragile. 1 year on, or 15 years on, one bad decision can kind of, get that train to a screeching halt. So, just yeah, if you're if if someone hears it and decides to maybe change some behavior, or thought process, that would be the biggest thing for me, is someone taking just one thing away, is that it is fragile. So
Definitely. Love it, man. And I do want to say too, before we part, shout out to your fire chief that called you. Like, we need more chief officers, company officers. Hell, we need just more firemen in general to actually like understand the person, understand the situation, but don't write them off. Like, give that person a shot. I feel like the fire service now, it's very easy for personnel and organizations to hand out paperwork, disciplinary paperwork, than actually figuring out if that's the right choice. Now, I'm not saying like sometimes that is the right choice, but instead of immediately jumping to, all right, they're getting wrote up or whatever the case may be, let's have a conversation with people. Let's figure out what's going on, and then we can try to see how we can move forward. I'll leave that at that. But truly, Kyle, thank you. Thank you for coming on, man, and sharing your story and talking shop.
No, thank you, Danny. It's I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty nervous. I didn't know how I would handle it, because it, like I said, it's a little bit uncomfortable. But it's definitely not something that I've ever shied away from answering questions about. I mean, but yeah, no, I appreciate you, and I just listened to the most recent release that you had of Bob Pressler. I'm like, holy crap, like this guy's been on the job longer than I've ever when I've been alive, you know, like that's
Yeah.
it. So it's all these things like that that I appreciate. So I'm thank you, and thank you for the opportunity to, you know, kind of share my story and the things that I've learned through it. So I'm very appreciative. So thank you, sir.
Yeah, no, man, you're good. You're good. And I appreciate you.
Thank you.
If any of the listeners out there are or know of a great firefighter who embodies the principles of being a great communicator, goal-oriented, hardworking, humble, passionate, and professional, regardless of rank, career, or volunteer, contact me at studentofthegamefirepodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, stay focused, stay committed, and stay safe.